Bible. A deeper dive into the books of the Bible.
Greetings and welcome to Pondering the Bible. I'm your co-host, Ken Corkins, and with me, as always, is my longtime friend and pastor, Rocky Ellison.
Hello.
This is Season 11, Episode 2, and as always, we pray that we're sponsored by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Did you get to see the eclipse today?
Yes. I had two of my grandchildren with me, and we sat out on our front yard and watched the, for about an hour, watched the eclipse.
Outstanding. Yeah, we went out in the backyard and kind of, I had all the fake little glasses and a little thing I could put over my phone so I could take pictures of it.
Oh, cool.
But it's really hard because, you're shaking with your hands and trying to zoom in on the sun. That good. So none of my pictures came out very good. But so as you can tell, we're recording this on Monday.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for us.
Right. This is 48 hours ahead of when we normally do it.
And so it's because you're heading out of town.
That's right. I'm transporting my parents from Texas back to Colorado for the summer. And so I'll be gone the next 4 days. So it's thrown a couple things at us then. We have to record on a Monday instead of our typical Wednesday mm-hmm. night. And clearly I'm not going to have a sermon ready to go by church on Sunday.
Why not?
Ain't happening.
It didn't take that long.
Not going to work for me in the car. So I had to get a guest speaker to preach the sermon this Sunday. And the obvious number one choice was you.
No. Dang. I got to change that. How do I fix that problem?
The downside to being the pastor's buddy.
I'm happy to do it.
So tonight will be a little bit different then. I'll be asking the questions because you're the one who's spent the time studying and prepping. And so let me just throw this out. What are you covering? Where are we going?
Okay. So when you came and asked if I would cover the pulpit for you, you said it would be April 14th.
Right.
And what immediately came to my mind is, oh, that's the day before tax day. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Yeah.
It's just April 15th for the U.S. listeners anyway. And then once that came to my mind, I was like, oh, you know what? There's a great story about Jesus and taxes in the Bible.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's kind of where I ended up going. So,
okay.
And this, there's a story. We've all probably heard it. Would you call it a pericope or a parable? I think it's a pericope.
Okay.
Of Jesus and some people trying to trap him. It's covered in all three synoptic gospels. It's not covered in John.
Okay.
But so you can kind of have your choice of which version you want. They're all extremely similar. They're in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 20. They're all pretty much the same. I decided let's go with the Matthew version.
Great.
Because it's first.
All right. Why don't you give that to us?
Let's listen to.
And you're reading from?
The NLT.
Okay.
It's Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. And some of it might be titled Taxes for Caesar. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples, along with the supporters of Herod, to meet with him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now, tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said. Why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they said. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them, and they went away.
Amen. Why don't you just walk us through that then? What jumps out at you from this pericope?
So, like I said, in all three tellings, Pharisees and some leaders, Luke just calls them leaders. They're all trying to trap Jesus for going against paying taxes, which would make him a revolutionary.
This isn't just a question and answer.
Right. This is a, let's see if we can get him to say something in front of the supporters of Herod,
right.
Get him to say that paying taxes to Caesar, we shouldn't do it because we're Jewish or something along those lines.
Right.
And that would make him a revolutionary. But they're trying to get him in trouble in front of the cops.
Right. Right. Herod is the Roman governor of Galilee, mm-hmm. and he is duty obligated to collect taxes. And so if Jesus comes out against that—
Right, they'll put him in an insurrectionist kind of role.
Yeah.
And so they kind of, these people that are testing him are buttering him up. Right. Yeah, yeah. We know you're fair. You know you judge fairly.
I was giggling to myself as you were reading through that. I was like, really? Is there anybody that would be fooled by these words?
And then they get to the entrapment question, right? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If he says no, then he's against the government and the government can arrest him because that's illegal. Yeah. He must pay taxes. But Jesus' response is quite amazing, right? He says, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Look, this is his coin. You owe him the coin, but give to God what belongs to God. So he kind of sidesteps the question, and it amazes them, and they just kind of slink away. With, oh, that didn't work.
So this issue of taxes then, Jesus sidesteps it, but what does the Bible say about taxes?
That's, I had to go digging in, right? And one of the earliest mentions of taxes is in the book of Genesis. It's in Genesis 41. Go ahead.
I didn't know there were tax issues in Genesis.
It's not called a tax. This is the story when Joseph is in charge, right? And it's during the 7 years of plenty.
Okay.
And Pharaoh says, you know, go ahead, Joseph, and collect from all the people some of the grain so that when the 7 bad years come, we'll have it. Right.
You're absolutely right. That's a tax.
That's a tax.
Yeah.
And I find it kind of uncomfortable to think that the government took it away and then they're going to sell it back to you. But that's the government for you, right? Now, the first real incidence of a tax that I came up with was in the book of Exodus. And it's in Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Each person who is counted must give a small piece of silver as a sacred offering to the Lord. This payment is half a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel, which equals 20 gerahs. All who have reached their 20th birthday must give this sacred offering to the Lord. When this offering is given to the Lord to purify your lives, making you right with him, the rich must not give more than the specific amount, and the poor must not give less. Receive this ransom money from the Israelites and use it for the care of their tabernacle. So in my thinking, that's the first tax.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a flat tax, right? Everybody pays the same amount, right? But that's where they establish effectively the temple tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a census. And every male over the age of 20, you get taxed. Every time you do a census, you got to pay your tax.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the first instance in the Bible of what I would call a tax, where the Genesis story is a tax, but this is one where I think God asked for a tax.
Yes. Clearly here, the Lord is instituting the tax.
And once you get a tax, it never goes away, right? Because we've talked in John, we were talking about temple taxes.
Right. And yes, came up a bunch.
Just never stops.
Taxes are kind of weird things. It's hard sometimes to differentiate what you're giving voluntarily, what's being forced from you. So since you've spent time in this, how would you differentiate between a tax, a tithe, and an offering?
Now, that's a good question. I had to dig into this because I had the question too. So tithing, the word tithe in Hebrew means tenth.
Okay.
And so the tenth part of anything is a tithe. And that rule is kind of established in the book of Leviticus, where a lot of rules are established.
Right.
One tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So that's a tithe. One tenth of everything should go to the Lord.
Of your crop, right.
Now, an offering is anything you want to give above and beyond that. So okay. If you want to thank God for something, you would make an offering, but you should give the first tenth of everything to God. So there's kind of a tithe and then an offering on top of that.
Right.
And then taxes are mandatory. You must pay this tax, right? Just ask Uncle Sam.
So Again, Jesus sidestepped the issue then. So are we commanded to pay taxes? He didn't, I mean, he said give to Caesar, but is that a command to pay taxes? Do I owe the IRS?
Well, if we follow the example of Jesus when it came to the temple tax, right?
Right.
He provided a miracle in order to pay the temple tax. And that story is in Matthew 17. Jesus was challenged on whether or not he pays the temple tax. And he kind of just said, go catch a fish. And when Peter pulls the fish out, there's a coin inside and says, use that to go pay the temple tax. So Jesus pays the temple tax because I think God commanded it. Jesus didn't have a lot of money, so he kind of produced enough money to pay his temple tax.
So if I get a miracle Christmas bonus, I've got to pay tax. But if I don't... Yeah.
Well, it does work that way, right? The government's going to tax that as income. That's, you know, Jesus as an example, but in other New Testament writings, both Paul and Peter say that we should obey the government that's placed over us, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's another, it's hitting the same problem, but from another direction.
Right, we're coming Romans 1 through 7, Paul's writing, obviously. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So effectively, I think we are being commanded to obey the rules that the government sets.
Whatever your government might be.
Right. Whether or not you agree with them is another story.
Right.
But because God is putting those people in place, whether you hate this guy or love that guy or hate the other one, whatever it is, we are still commanded, I think, to be lawful, right?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be lawbreakers.
Yeah.
And then in Peter, so 1 Peter 2:13-17 says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. So I think Peter is telling us Christians the same thing, right? You do need to obey the law.
Yeah.
And you can work to change that law, but you do need to obey it while it's in effect. So in a sense, I think, yes, we are commanded to pay our taxes.
That's interesting. I've always seen that verse used over the debate of, what if my government drafts me into the military? I'm a pacifist because I'm a Christian. I'm like Jesus. I'm not going to war, so I'm going to refuse to go to war. And so I've seen that verse applied to that, but taxes applies to everybody.
Yes.
There's no wiggle room on that.
I agree with that. So yeah, I've heard that same argument. You know, I'm a pacifist, but I guess I have to kind of, war is different, but I kind of have to fall on the side of, yeah, but there's non-combat roles you can play in the military. There's, for every one man on the front, there's seven behind him supporting him. So there's probably a place for you that doesn't involve direct combat.
So obey your government.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
Even though it kind of grates.
Yeah. But you can work to change that government too and try and institute godly rules within the government. I don't think that's against anything that God or Jesus would have requested of us.
Does kind of sound to me, though, like you're heading towards a message of shut up, pay your taxes because the Bible says so.
It does kind of sound that way. And that's kind of where the first half of this has all been about taxes, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm going to go back to the response that Jesus gave. And it's very easy. And I did it for the last, 15 minutes here. I totally missed the other half of his response. Give to God what belongs to God. And that's the real point, I think, that we need to pay attention to, right? We can argue about taxes and government all day long, but are we doing or are we giving to God what God demands of us?
And what is it?
That's a great question. I had to go digging for that one too. we don't really think all that much. What does God want from me, right? Yeah. What can I get from God is more what we're thinking.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What can God do for me? Why should I follow him? But there's three passages that came out as I was digging into it. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. And this is kind of weird. This is kind of off. But this is something that Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about how his first letter kind of hurt their feelings because he said some nice things about them, right? But he comes back with this, and he says, "Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It's the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you are not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads away from sin and results in salvation." So God wants us to turn away from sin.
Right.
That's what God wants from us, turn away from sin.
Right.
We see that everywhere. The next one is in the book of John, where we just left.
I've got it here.
Okay.
John 6, 29, Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent."
And that is for sure what God wants from us, right?
Right.
Believe in Jesus. And then it all kind of boils down to, and when I started, I had no idea it was going to end here. I didn't aim for this point, but guess where it ended? I never really know where I'm going with a sermon. I'm sure you don't either. Maybe you do. Maybe you start with the end in mind, but I don't.
No, I don't. I go where
it kind of where it leads me.
Where the text takes me, yeah.
And with that question, what does God want from us? I came to this final conclusion, and it's the most important commandment from Matthew 22. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." So in the end, I ended up at love God and be nice to people.
Yes. Yet again. Yes.
And I did not aim there, but doggone it, if the Spirit didn't lead me right there.
It's a trap.
I love the consistency and the homogeneity of the Bible. I love it.
So pay your taxes, but love God and be nice to people.
Yes.
All right. So that's kind of where I'm going to go on Sunday.
Okay.
I need to flesh it out some more. You know, I've got the general outline I need to flesh out. Looking at where we're at now, we're at 20 minutes. And so if I could blabber for 20 minutes, it'll probably be 15 minutes up at the pulpit, but that's where it'll be.
Do you have a title selected yet?
Yeah. Well, so when I first thought of the pericope, I remembered, of all things, the King James Version, "Render unto Caesar."
Yeah.
And so at first, and I don't think I'm going to stick with it, but my working title has been "Render This." But I think that's a little harsh, so maybe I won't go there. So I really haven't given a title. It might just be "Render."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just leave it a little softer than "Render This." So that's for now, it'll be called "Render."
Okay. But it'll absolutely be on April 14th.
Absolutely.
And so they can find it by going to our website. At the top of the website is a menu. Click on that menu and you'll find ministries. Go down the ministries listing and you'll find sermons. And this one, "Render" or "Render This," will be on April 14th. And anyone who wants can hear then the message that has come from your resources.
Outstanding. All right. Anything else?
Not from me.
Okay. I'm done too. With that, this is Ken Corkins and Rocky Ellison reminding you of all things to love God and be nice to people.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at www.pondergmc.org. There, you can watch our live stream services, listen to replays of Rocky's sermons, and find other interesting information about us. This has been Pondering the Bible.